Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, web surfers of all ages, thank you for listening and welcome once again to the latest episode of Exiled, the Magic the Gathering game show. I am Brian Baker, and I will be your level zero host. This episode of Exiled is brought to you by The Mana Pool, the casual magic podcast phenomena. It is also brought to you by Cardshark.com, a better way to buy and sell magic cards. And finally, by our good friends at Buzzco. Buzz. I will be your judge this evening, as I've said, and we have four lovely contestants from all over the internet. Let's say hello to Chewy.
Hi, everyone. I'm Chewy. I'm the host of the Mana Pool and Monday Night Magic, and I'm usually referred to as a lead dork.
Excellent. Welcome, lead dork. I'm sure you'll give us a good show this evening. We also have Mike.
Hello, I'm Mike, also from the Mana Pool, where I am the rules guy and the game lore guy.
Something about a resident oldster, perhaps, was slipped into my file. Are you still old, sir?
Yes, I am officially old.
Excellent. Next, we have Mr. Dirk.
Hi, I'm Dirk. I'm a host on the Mana Pool also, and I'm commonly referred to as the self-proclaimed greenest man alive and moral compass of the group.
Being a moral compass for this group certainly does keep you busy, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Excellent. And finally, our last contestant is Mr. William the Bloody.
I'm sorry. Is this on TV?
William Bloodworth.
Am I on TV?
Actually, no. They can't see you or your face. If you're showing up on your own TV, you might have other problems.
Check.
So, William, you go by Bill.
Yes, I go by William or Bill or Squee Goblin Nabob.
Excellent. I may call you any combination of those. Will Nabob. All right. Welcome to Exile. On this show, of course, we will have three rounds. A preliminary round, a secondary round, and a tertiary round. That is, in fact, how these things go. At the beginning of each round, our contestants will open a mystery booster, and each booster will include three cards that those contestants must use to build a 60-card deck within 10 minutes. They must use at least one copy of each of those cards, and the deck that they build should highlight those cards in some way. Once those cards are revealed, each person, in an order that is completely random and will be chosen by me, will select one additional card that no one else can use. Rounds may have additional rules, but for now, especially for this first round, that will be it. We'll allow them to 10 minutes to build their decks while I keep you good folks at home entertained with such amusing things as armpit sounds and the sound of my voice. And then we will come back, we will hear their decks, we will select which one I like the least for various reasons, and that person will become a judge with me, and we'll go on to the next round until we have a winner. Does everyone understand the rules?
Yes, yes, judge. Sir.
Yes,
excellent.
Judge.
All right. If you need questions, then I can't help you. But if you need answers, then simply yell out, judge, in a loud voice. Not loud enough to hurt my ears, or you will be disqualified. Also, make sure your sleeves are regulation. If everyone is ready...
Judge?
Yes.
Are we on TV?
That's what I'm thinking.
I think you might have a problem with your local security if you are showing up on a television anywhere. So, if we are ready, we will go ahead and begin the first round by opening the booster pack. All right. In this booster pack, you will find a Browbeat, a Furyborn Hellkite, and a Figure of Destiny. You all may have 1 minute to look over your choices, and then I am going to select one of you, and you will tell me the additional card that you will use. All right. Mike, tell me your additional card that you will use that no one else can.
My additional card will be... Oh, crap, I lost my window. My additional card will be Curse of the Pierced Heart.
An excellent choice. Bill, what will your additional card be?
My additional card will be Braid of Fire.
Very interesting. Dirk, what will your additional card be?
Seething Song.
And finally, Chewy, who clearly was counting on at least one of those cards. What will your card be?
I don't know.
And remember, none of you can use the cards the others have chosen.
Like at all, right?
at all.
Okay.
I mean, in later rounds, you may, but for this
round. Judge, if he says mountain, can I stab him?
Oh, come on. That was going to be what I was going to say.
That is both allowed and the stabbing will be permitted. But the selection of a basic land is not prohibited.
Is not prohibited? That's messed up. I'm going to hope no one does that. I will say... let me think. What is... I was so set on saving song. let's...
Judge, can I stab him anyway for taking too long?
I'm not allowed to leave your station to stab him. You may send either an assassin or an automated device through the mail.
I had to look up what Furyborn Hellkite did because I didn't know. How about, what's the guy? He's the red, like, hound who's a wreck.
Yeah.
Hang on. Here we go. Nope, that's not him. Hang on. Hellfire Mongrel.
Hellfire Mongrel.
That does not fit. I forgot what Browbeat did too. Oh, Will already said it.
Okay. All right. So, again, your choices are everyone must use Browbeat, Furyborn Hellkite, and Figure of Destiny. Mike will also use Curse of the Pierced Heart. Bill will also use Braid of Fire. Dirk will use Seething Song. And Chewie will finally use Hellfire Mongrel. You have 10 minutes. You may begin. All right. Listeners, while they are working on their decks, I am now going to, first of all, go over these cards with you so that you may follow alone, which, you know, if you do, I'm very sorry for you. You should really follow with someone else. Now, of course, if I'm too distracting, I'm sure the contestants will let me know and I won't care. But Browbeat, for those that don't know, is a sorcery. It costs 2 and a red. Any player may have Browbeat deal 5 damage to him or her. If no one does, target player draws 3 cards. Very interesting because it has the target player draw that you don't see quite so much of these days. Then, of course, it's also part of a cycle we call the Punisher cycle because it gives the ability to choose which mode to your opponents. It was part of a cycle that was originally in the Odyssey block, which I almost called the Onslaught block, but I didn't. Furyborn Hellkite is, of course, a dragon, as one would expect of most Hellkites. Furyborn Hellkite costs a whopping 7 mana, 4 colorless and 3 red. It is a 6/6 flying dragon. It is a mythic rare from M12, and it has a Bloodthirst of 6. So of course, if an opponent has been dealt damage this turn, as in the turn that Furyborn Hellkite enters the battlefield, it comes into play with 6 additional +1/+1 counters, making it a 12/12 at least. Very deadly. Very interesting. We'll have to see what our contestants do with that, other than possibly flying into people's faces and defeating them.
Judge!
Yes!
Sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
Is this supposed to be a deck meant for one-on-one play or for multiplayer?
We will leave that in your discretion. You must tell us when you are presenting the deck what sort of format it is for. Of course, the format itself is left open. It can be considered legacy legal. But as far as multiplayer versus single player, that's up to you. As long as the deck that you make makes sense within the context that you present.
Ah, thank you, Judge.
You're welcome. Finally, Figure of Destiny costs a red-white hybrid and is a 1/1 Kithkin and is a rare from Eventide. You may pay a red. Figure of Destiny becomes a 2/2 Kithkin Spirit. Keep in mind that this ability does not say until end of turn. You may pay 3 red-white hybrid. If Figure of Destiny is a spirit, it becomes a 4/4 Kithkin Spirit Warrior. And finally, you may pay 5 white-red hybrid. If Figure of Destiny is a warrior, it becomes an 8/8 Kithkin Spirit Warrior Avatar with flying and first strike. This was considered the precursor to the level up mechanic. It terrorized boards, both in casual and competitive magic, for the entire time that it was legal and standard. I myself completely underestimated it because I inserted the words until end of turn to each of those abilities and thought it was dumb and was quickly proven wrong. So, those are the cards. I guess I should go ahead real quick and let you know what cards these contestants have chosen and what they might do. And to make sure I have the correct wording, I'm using Gatherer. And, of course, Curse of the brings up a lot of things. But Curse of the Pierced Heart, which Mike has chosen, is an enchantment. It's an aura, and it's also a curse. It costs one and a red, and it's an enchant player. At the beginning of enchanted player's upkeep, Curse of the Pierced Heart deals one damage to that player. Perhaps he's thinking of Bloodthirst Shenanigans. Perhaps he's thinking of enchanting himself. We don't know. We'll have to find out when we come back to Mike. Bill has chosen Braid of Fire, a very interesting card from Cold Snap, which was much worse when it was released than it is now. For one and a red, it is an enchantment, and it has cumulative upkeep. Cumulative upkeep, of course, means that there's a cost that must be paid during the upkeep to keep this card on the battlefield, and those costs are cumulative. So the cumulative upkeep of this card is to add a red to your mana pool. And as the reminder text says, at the beginning of your upkeep, put an age counter on this permanent, then sacrifice it unless you pay its upkeep cost for each age counter on it. Now, at the time that it was released, there was still mana burn, meaning that any unused mana that emptied out of your pool at the end of each phase then dealt one damage to you. Mana burn was eliminated with the M10 rules change, and Braid of Fire went from being janky to sweet. So, we'll have to see how Bill uses all this mana. Speaking of mana, Dark has chosen Seething Song, much to Chewy's chagrin. Seething Song I don't need Gatherer for. It costs 2 and a red. It's an instant, and it adds 5 red mana to your mana pool. Consider the precursor to the red rituals, which took over Black's share of the color pie as far as instant speed mana generation. This was first released in Mirrodin and is actually banned in Modern because it allows too many combos with Storm decks, possibly with some Cascade decks, and decks that like red mana. So we'll have to see what Dark does with that. Probably accelerate his mana into more things that cost more mana. Finally, Hellfire Mongrel, Chewie's choice. For 2 and a red, it is an Elemental Hound. It is a 2-2. And at the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, if that player has 2 or fewer cards in hand, Hellfire Mongrel deals 2 damage to him or her. It's impressive to note that this only affects opponents, so it will never bite the hand that feeds it. Gentlemen, it has been 6 minutes and 48 seconds. You then have the remaining time. I'm not calculating that. It's about 3 minutes. Mike, how's it going?
It's going pretty well so far, Judge. I'm just trying to get a deck together quick, so there's a lot of 4 ofs, and there probably won't be too much subtlety, but I think you'll find it interesting.
Excellent. Who needs subtlety? Dark, is your deck subtle?
Mine's subtle like a hammer to the face.
Excellent. That's the kind of subtlety everyone can appreciate. It's no mystery that all of these cards are red, and we'll see just how much red is left on the floor when these decks are done. Bill, how are you faring?
I'm doing okay. Looking at all the different ways that I can exploit tons of mana during a time that's not sorcery compatible.
Excellent. And finally, Chewy, how goes your deck faring fare?
Does it floundering, fare you well? Judge. Floundering. Well,
oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well,
I chose poorly with my extra card and can find no deck to build that makes any sense.
I am sorry to hear that. We will see your submissions in 2 minutes. This is the 2 minute warning now on the spot. We'll take a quick break. We're going to stay here. I'm just letting you know we're taking a quick break with Buzzco. Buzzco, all of your buzzing needs, be they shaving, chopping down trees, chopping down people, getting the latest word on things, also known as the buzz. Buzzco does it all. We'd like to send a special thank you to our listeners listening to us today on this very special episode of Exiled. I'd like to send a special thank you to Marianne, who turns 30 years old today. Good going, Marianne. Keep it going, and I'm sure you'll get another 30 years or so to go. Gentlemen, we are now approaching the 1 minute warning in 3, 2, 1. 1 minute remaining. I'm wandering over to Dirk's station. It looks like he has something very interesting going on. I smell a lot of... It smells like sulfur coming from Dirk. Now I'm wandering over to Mike's. See, that smells a little more interesting. I'm smelling something more like rotten eggs. I'm not quite sure what that smell is. Maybe it's sulfur too. I don't know. My nose is broken. Now I'm wandering over to Bill. I can't smell anything anymore. I think all the blood is rushing from my head. I would try and go over to Chewie, but unfortunately, we are running out of time. I will now count down the last 15 seconds. 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's it. All right, gentlemen, put your pencils and pens and fingers down. All right. Well, let's start with you, Mike. What have you got for us here today?
All right. I guess I'll just see if I can paste the...
That would be great. If you have it on your computer, you should just paste it. And if you can send it to me specifically, that would be great. Or you can post it in the group window. Either way.
Oh, that looks awful.
But...
Oh, I know what I'll do.
Mike has it figured out.
Sorry, I did this on TapTap, but I set it to private. Let me unset it. Uncheck.
You too, huh?
Yeah. It's the easiest way to see what's going on.
All right. We eagerly await.
Sorry. I didn't plan this part out very well.
Well, that's all right. That's my failing as a judge. I promise you I will punish myself accordingly when the episode is over.
All right.
Okay.
So I picked Curse of the Pierced Heart on impulse because of Furyborn Hellkite's Bloodthirst. Of all the mandatory cards, that ability jumped out at me. But then I realized that Curse of the Pierced Hearts wouldn't deal any damage during my turn. So I had to figure out how to throw out the Furyborn Hellkite during my opponent's turn. And to that end, I'm playing Quicksilver Amulet and Through the Breach to give myself a little bit of break on Furyborn Hellkite's mana cost.
Mm-hmm.
So I have 24 land, 18 mountains, 2 Sheevan Gorges to help with the damage. Spine Rock Knoll, if I can get big damage, I can play something else. And maybe run out a big Furyborn Hellkite and 2 Valakut the Molten Pinnacle for damage.
Excellent. I especially like the use of the gorges. Okay.
Yeah. I have 20 creatures. I went ahead and used all 4 Figure of Destiny because I'm definitely going to need some help in the early turn staying alive. And besides that are all things that I can use Through the Breach and Quicksilver Amulet. I have 4 Begarden Hellkites, 4 Furyborn Hellkites, 4 Scargan Firebirds, and 4 Thunder Dragons. And in the support, I have all 4 Browbeats to draw cards, all 4 of my Curse of the Pierced Heart, and 4 Quicksilver Amulets, and 4 Through the Breach.
All right. Well, it does appear to be a bit top-heavy. You do have the Figure of Destiny and the Curse of the Pierced Heart for the early turns.
Yeah.
And then if you can manage to get something like Through the Breach or Quicksilver Amulet going, then you should be able to win in short
order.
Turns. Yes. Thank you. Short order. A very interesting submission, and we appreciate your deck. Let's move along now to Dirk.
All right. Just putting the finishing touches on mine. While I'm finishing... I hope that my math adds up correctly as well, so we'll see. You guys can have a look at it in just a second. All right. So with mine... Copy... I'm just going to copy and paste it in. There you go. I hope it adds up to 60. So, for mine, I decided to go the route of cheap little stuff so that I could play in the Hellkite and, something as simple as like Chandra's Phoenix. So mine has things like Shock, Lightning Bolt, Arc Lightning, Lightning Helix in it. And so that I can get the white, there are 4 Burrow's Gates, thrown in as well.
I'm looking down your list. I will go through fairly quickly. 4 Browbeat, 2 Furyborn Hellkite, 4 Figure of Destiny, 4 Seething Song, 2 Ajani Vengeant, 4 Shock, 4 Lightning Bolt, 4 Arc Lightning, 4 Lightning Helix, 4 Chandra's Phoenix, 4 Boros Gate, 13 Mountains, and 7 Plains.
I think that adds up to 60. You guys have to double check my math.
Okay.
All right.
Excellent.
Woohoo!
I find it interesting here the curve is much lower than in Mike's. And I do appreciate the sight of the Planeswalker. That's a very interesting addition. Thank you. Well, is there something else you want to say, Dirk?
Well, the sort of the thought behind the deck is that the Chandra's Phoenix is going to be an early thing, or something to get out in case I really need to get a blocker out. It has haste and everything. The Figure of Destiny, again, early drop, but it can be leveled up through the lands that do come up. Browbeat deals damage if someone, you know, doesn't want to pay the life or wants to pay the life and everything. The key thing is that with the Furyborn Hellkite is to have them get dealt damage when they enter the battlefield. And if a Johnny comes in, he's the backup to it, especially with the limit break of smashing their lands so that they can no longer be dealt with. All of the shocks and everything are also in there for the purpose of delaying, or dealing damage to the player so that when the Hellkite comes in, he's hellbent.
The burn spells do play well, both with the top of the curve with the dragon, as well as the phoenix. There's actually quite a bit of synergy here, so I appreciate that. Excellent. All right, we'll move now to Chewy, the head dork.
Okay, I liked Mike's idea to put it on Tapped Out, so I'm finishing off the card names that I just typed in so I'd know.
Okay, do I need to move to Bill?
What was the big dragon?
The
Furyborn. There we go.
Furyborn Hellkite.
Okay, I think that's it.
Okay.
Save. Is that it? Yay! Okay, so here is mine in the chat. Go. And this is awful. Why does Blazing Salvo not pop up?
Because sometimes the database is just boned.
Okay, Breaking Point doesn't pop up either.
Yeah, Figure of Destiny's also broken.
Destiny's also broken. Okay!
Alright.
Okay. So, I'm running the 4 Browbeat, because Browbeat's awesome, 4 Figure of Destiny, and 2 of the Furyborn Hellkite. I threw in a full 4 of the Hellfire Mongrel, because if I'm going to make a mistake, I'm going to own it. And for the rest of the deck, I honestly didn't know what to do, so I just went with the Punisher mechanic, like Browbeat. So I threw in 4 copies of Breaking Point, which is the
Wrath of God.
The 3 mana Wrath effect, unless something.
Someone takes 6.
Is it 6?
Yeah.
Okay, there it is, yeah. And Book Burning, which has absolutely no purpose in the deck other than to make people go, this is meant to be played one-on-one, by the way, because this deck would just be stupid in multiplayer.
Right.
Well, I've got 18 Mountains and 4 Valakut just because I'm playing Mono Red, I might as well throw in some Valakuts. I have Blazing Salvo, which deals 3 damage to a creature unless that creature's controller takes 5. I don't know what it costs.
1 red.
Is it just a red? Okay, good. And for the rest of the creatures, I threw in 4 Lavaborn Muses, because if I'm going to have 4 Hellfire Mongrels, I might as well have 4 Lavaborn Muses. And for the rest of the deck, I wanted pure defense. So I threw in 4 Wall of Razors, the 4-1 First Striker dude, and 4 Wall of Fire, the Fire-Breathing 0-5, just to hold off until I can power out a Hellkite.
Okay. Well, I do like several things here. I like the included use of the other Punisher cards. And Blazing Salvo is a personal favorite of mine. So I appreciate what you've done here. Now we'll move finally to Bill.
All right. I dropped my link in the chat so you can pull that up. I call this one Plink Plink Kaboom! Because that's pretty much what the deck does. My deck is loaded with Tang effects, most of which activate off of tapping or spending mana so that I can actually do something with my chosen Rate of Fire inclusion, which, as you know, makes a bunch of red, but it's only in my upkeep. So the idea was to have a lot of creatures like Flamekin Spitfire or Flame Wave Invoker, so that if things go sufficiently long or if things start going out of control from multiple Rates of Fire, I can just start plink, 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 plink. And the idea behind it was to make sure that the Furyborn Hellkite will always get its Bloodthirst, no matter what. In fact, I've got a Generator Servant in there so that Furyborn Hellkite can also pop in a little bit earlier if possible. Because if I can get a Plink in and then the Hellkite on, you know, turn 5, it's going to be pretty big. Likewise, the Braid of Fire just runs really nicely with upgrading your Figure of Destiny, since he was before they actually learned better, and his stuff does work at instant speed. And other cards of note in here, for the Browbeat, I went down to 3 on the simple grounds that I appreciate drawing the cards, but I'm pretty confident they're not going to let me outright burn them too often, and I've got so much stuff to do with my mana, I won't actually be able to use all the cards. So, that is the one unfortunate lack of synergy there. On the plus side, though, I've got Burgard and Hellkite, which once in a while is going to just be able to fly out during my upkeep from all that mana, and that's pretty awesome.
All right. I appreciate a lot of this here, and I have to say, for everyone involved, I really actually appreciate everything that you've done, and these decks turned out to be quite interesting. 10 minutes is apparently a lot of time for you gentlemen. I'd like to say a quick word about each person, and then we'll cut to a quick commercial break, and I'll reveal who has been exiled. Mike, I appreciate your devotion here. I appreciate the fact that you found a theme and you stuck with it. I appreciate what you did with the lands and how you gave that a bit more thought. The only issue I might have is with the extreme top of the curve mana curve, where if you don't get going fairly quickly and you have no defense, you may fall by the wayside. Dirk, I love your synergy here. I think you've got some very interesting things, and I think that the inclusion of all the burn spells with the synergy with both the dragon and the phoenix is great. However, you are very light on permanence, and you could, once again, have a problem with defense. Chewy, I love the fact that you have additional Punisher cards here. The issue may be with some, in fact, like book burning, where the opponent simply isn't going to care enough about either half. And also, the Wall of Fire and Wall of Razors are great defense, but otherwise don't do anything to advance your position. And finally, with Plink Plink Kaboom, I love the fact that you actually named your deck, Bill. I love the fact that you named your deck. I love the fact that you have a lot of synergy here between your mana generation with Braid of Fire and Generator Servant. And I really do not see too many problems. You didn't really give much thought to your lands except for a bunch of mountains. Sometimes that's all you need, but perhaps not the same level of attention that Mike and others gave. So now, we will reveal who is exiled when we come back.
I did not enjoy that.
Chewie, I thought you ended up with a pretty good idea. I wish you had put at least some barbarian rings in your land base to go with that book burning so it wouldn't stand out so much.
I wish I had thought of that. Yeah, that would have been great. I couldn't make Gatherer work. It kept, like, I don't know if I was using the touchpad instead of the mouse and I've lost it, and I kept clicking on other things, and my computer's been slow lately, so it's like, this other thing loaded. I'm like, what?!
Yeah, I know I didn't put enough things in my deck to actually find Quicksilver Amulet. I should have mashed some Faithless Lootings in there or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that would have been great.
Well, I was trying to find something to go in permanent-wise, like what he said, but I just ran out of time. I mean, I felt incredibly rushed, and I just don't think I got the quality that I was looking for in this. I really feel like I did a really crappy job.
Well, not as crappy as me, though, so that's fun.
I was desperately looking for red sources at Death Touch.
Wait, say that again, Bill?
That's not...
I was looking for red sources with Death Touch, and I did not have enough time to find any.
Are there any?
I don't believe so. I was looking for artifacts, but I could not find anything, so...
Hmm.
That's why I have 23 mountains.
I still... I don't know. I still think that yours is really good. It's got an actual, like, concept... That you're trying to...
If it doesn't get run over for having all these really tiny creatures, and, but we'll see what happens.
You showcased your individual special card the best, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, my special card was completely stupid. Oh, well.
We'll see what he says.
Yeah, I think the judge is ready for us.
All right, gentlemen. Are you ready to find out who has been exiled in the first round of Exiled?
Yes, Judge.
Sir. All right.
Yes, sir.
The gentleman with the weakest deck and leaving us now to be exiled is the Chewy.
Oh.
Chewy, while I appreciate what you did here and I appreciate the fact that you really showcased the browbeat, unfortunately, it just wasn't as good as your competitors. I'll ask you to come over here and join me up at the judges' station.
You're going
to help me out with you're going to help me out with a couple key things. For one thing, when it comes to selecting the next person to leave and then the eventual winner, you will in fact get a say in that.
Woo-hoo.
And second of all, you're actually going to help me out with the next round, which will begin right now. Are remaining three competitors ready?
Yes, Judge.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's go ahead and open that pack.
I have a sudden urge for an ice cream sandwich.
I cannot explain why you are feeling this sensation. What I can explain is what is in the pack. In this pack, you will find an Ephara, God of the Polis, a Repulse, and I'm going to have trouble pronouncing this, but a porphyry nodes. P-O-R-P-H-Y-R-Y. Nodes. Nodes.
Sorry, I'm sorry, Judge.
Agony. It's all right. Now, before we're going to have an interesting trick to this round, but before we get to that, before you know what it is, I'm going to ask each of you to once again choose an additional card. Let's start with Dirk this time.
I get the feeling Dirk is still looking up what periphery nodes does.
Yeah, I didn't even get all the cards down. Can you write them in the chat, please?
I can.
That might make all of our lives a little bit easier.
I don't think I spelled periphery nodes right.
Porphyry.
And Brian is just soldiering on.
Just put a drop of honey in your deck and pretend it's white.
That would take that's actually.
I'll of course explain all these during our little break. But again, that is Afara, God of the Polis, Repulse, and Porphyry Nodes. And I'm going to ask Bill to choose a card.
Let's go with Azor's Elocutors.
Oh lord.
Yeah, spell that, jerk.
Is that Azor's or
it's Azor's? It's pronounced Elocutors. Because, that's you know, right, that's lawyer. My job. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I may or may not be pandering
nice,
to the judge.
Nice job. All right. Dirk, do you have a card? If you don't, I'll move to Mike, but it's kind of an advantage please. To go first, so.
I know.
All right, Mike.
Sunken Hope.
Ha, cool. All right, Dirk. You cannot choose Azorius, Elocutors, or Sunken Hope.
I'm gonna say Vincer.
Which one?
The creature or the planeswalker?
The planeswalker.
The sojourner.
That's correct.
Now, before we begin the 10 minutes, I'm going to ask I'm going to ask Chewie for a little bit of help. Chewie, I want you to give me a letter of the alphabet.
M?
M. I want you to give me another letter of the alphabet.
K?
And finally, one more letter of the alphabet.
Three? Oh, wait. It's like Mortal Kombat L.
M, K, and L. All right. Gentlemen,
I really thought
when
you
were gonna
spell Mike's turn.
Gentlemen, when you are selecting cards for your decks, you cannot include cards where any individual word on that card, in the name of that card, starts with an M, a K, or an L.
Oh, Lord.
All right, gentlemen. 10 minutes. Stupid stopwatch. 10 minutes.
Yes, Judge.
Starts now. All right. So now they have begun. Because presumably they did not begin already because they are honest. Chewie, how do you feel about it being exiled after the first round?
I'm so happy to be exiled after the first round. Because, man, this is brutal.
You think it's brutal?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what our contestants come up with in this, the second round of Exiled.
I had a feeling that you were doing something brutal. That's why I didn't go like, RST!
You should know that before the show began, I debated just making it RST and decided I would ask you for some input. So, they have you to thank. Now, since we've got a minute, or actually 10, or a little less than 10, why don't you help me out here? Please, tell the listeners what Efara, God of the Polis, does.
Oh, okay.
Unless you need a minute.
Hang on. So, Efara, God of the Polis, costs 2, a white and a blue. She's a mythic rare from Born of the Gods. She's a legendary enchantment creature, god. She's indestructible. As long as your devotion to white and blue is less than 7, she is not a creature. And at the beginning of your upkeep, if you had another creature enter the battlefield under your control last turn, draw a card.
Excellent. And what's her base stats?
Oh, she is a 6/5.
As long as she's a creature, of course.
Right.
Excellent. Repulse is an instant. It costs 2 and a blue. Return target creature to its owner's hand. Draw a card. And finally, peripheral nodes. Costs a single white. It's an enchantment. It is a rare from Planar Chaos. At the beginning of your upkeep, destroy the creature with the least power. It can't be regenerated. If 2 or more creatures are tied for least power, you choose one of them. When there are no creatures on the battlefield, sacrifice this. Chewie, which of these cards do you think is the most interesting?
Interesting? Probably the perfury nodes.
Aha.
Just because it's it's constantly killing something.
Right. You feel like makes, it's a...
Yeah, it makes games feel more like more things are happening.
Okay.
Because more things are, in fact, happening, and it's really hard to get into a stalemate when something's dying every single turn.
True. Or it can perpetuate a stalemate in some cases. But eventually it will go away. So, let's quickly talk about the cards that our competitors have chosen. Would you care to explain to the listeners what Sunken Hope does?
Sure. Sunken Hope says, at the beginning of each player's upkeep, that player returns a creature he or she controls to its owner's hand. It costs 3 blue-blue is an enchantment, was originally printed in Plane Shift as a rare, and has since shown up in 10th Edition and Plane Chase 2012.
Excellent. Why can I not find Elocutors?
Because it's actually Azores, apostrophe S, Elocutors.
Aha! That would be why.
So, Azores Elocutors, since Thank I already you. Had it up,
yes.
costs 3 and 2, 3 colorless and 2 white-blue hybrid. It's a rare human advisor from Return to Ravnica. It is a 3-5. At the beginning of your upkeep, put a filibuster counter on Azores Elocutors. Then, if Azores Elocutors has 5 or more filibuster counters on it, you win the game.
So it literally talks people to death.
Yeah. Yes. Whenever a source deals damage to you, remove a filibuster counter from Azores Elocutors.
All right. Finally, we have Dirk's choice, Venser the Sojourner. It is a planeswalker from Scars of Myrdin. It costs 3, a white, and a blue. Say, planeswalker, Venser. We sadly won't be seeing any more of those because he dead. Although perhaps in a product like, Commander 2015. Yes, perhaps we will. He starts with 3 loyalty. His first ability is a +2. Exile target permanent you own. Return it to the battlefield under your control at the beginning of the next end step. His next ability is a -1. Creatures are unblockable this turn. Or creatures can't be blocked this turn is the Oracle text. Nah. And finally, limit break of -8. You get an emblem with, whenever you cast a spell, exile target permanent. An interesting choice for Dirk, since it does not specify non-land. Now, which of these cards do you think is perhaps the most interesting for your taste?
Well, for my taste, I would probably go with the Sunken Hope.
Okay.
Something about constantly having to bounce things gets my creativeness going.
So you yourself were drawn toward the nodes for the continuous effect and the Sunken Hope, again, for a continuous effect. Very interesting.
How about that?
And a good look into your sight, hindsight, or otherwise. Gentlemen competitors, you now have 4 minutes remaining right now. Mike, how's it going?
This is a very stressful challenge, and I just realized I have not been paying attention to whether I'm following the special rule. Well, dang it. Okay.
I think we should leave Mike alone.
Excellent. Well, let's turn toward Dirk. Dirk, how are you feeling right now?
I have also not been paying attention to the first letter part, so...
remember, that only...
We'll see what my cards say.
You may have cards that have those letters. They just cannot... The names, the first letter of each word in the name cannot begin with an M, a K, or an L. Mortal Kombat Leagues? Not sure.
Legacy.
Yeah. Didn't play that one. Is it better than the movies?
It was a series.
Okay. Was that the web series?
Yeah, and it was awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Have they done the third season yet?
No.
The latest episode of Dragon Ball Z Abridged is up, and Cell is awesome.
Sweet.
Creepy, too.
They did a really good job with it. Bill, how are you doing?
I'm actually just adding my land now, so I'm doing pretty good.
All right. Well, Bill is once again ahead of everyone. We'll see if it pays off or if it means he takes the long path to exile. And the noise remover is going to remove that, isn't it? Or the silence remover. Or
I don't
the
know.
Thing
I snickered
thing.
In the middle, so.
Yes, there we go. Gentlemen, 7 minutes and 37 seconds have elapsed. You now have however much time that leaves.
You know, 10 minutes sounds like a lot, but I swear this is just flying through.
No, I'm pretty sure I hear the sound of cardboard being furiously scraped from the floor around Mike's section as his Sue deck builder's assistants are trying to get his cards in order after he realized he was using the wrong ones. So, and over, I think I smell burning cardboard coming from Dirk's section. It's not sulfur this time, it's just burning cardboard. You might want to watch it over there. Finally, I'd like to know what Bill is doing on the ceiling, and if that actually helps his concentration.
It does.
Chewie, do you want to wager any guesstimate as to how our competitors will fare this round? Are there any that you feel that we need to look out for?
I get the feeling that Mike and Dirk will both have some substandard card that they went, oh god! And threw it in the deck because of the naming restriction.
Excellent. It'll be fun to watch for sure.
It's true.
Don't freaking turn with the naming restriction!
Gentlemen, you have 1 minute remaining right now.
This is great.
Please, if you find this event too stressful, commit seppuku off of the gaming floor. And please turn in your deck submission ahead of time, if at all possible.
Oh my god.
40 seconds remaining.
This is
classic. I'm actually getting annoyed that you have to put descriptions in or it won't let you save the stupid deck.
Yeah, I put all the rules in the description.
30 seconds remaining.
In mine, I just put, yup.
20 seconds remaining.
You can do it, Mike.
15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7.
Oh, God, the restriction. Damn it. 5,
2, 1. That's it.
Excellent.
Time is over. At least in theory, because now it's once again time to exile someone. But before we do that, we better find out what decks they built. So I think we'll go ahead and start at the end here with Bill, because his name comes first. So Bill, please, alphabetically, Bill, why don't you tell us all about your deck by sending us a link? Okay. But of course, the listeners can't see it, so, but thank you for sending it to me. I like that.
Right.
Go ahead.
There's a link. All right, so...
I like the name.
No problem. All right, so yes, my deck, which is called How a Bill Becomes a Law, because frantic typing, showcases Azor's Elocutors, those guys, the filibuster guys. Their deal is that you want to prevent yourself from taking damage for 5 turns on either player's turn, which meant my initial gut reaction of throwing in the shock land went away. That would be stupid. So what I did was to play around I decided on that card because with Porphyry Nodes, I'm pretty likely to be able to actually keep my opponent's small guys down because 3 on the power end isn't that bad. I mean, it could become a problem eventually, but I've got enough of my own strange ways of getting around it that it should hopefully work out. If I can drop the Porphyry Nodes early, then I can start the slow process. And the idea is to run spells like Angel Song to prevent damage, which is just like a white fog effect that cycles. If Aura gives you benefits for creatures coming in, and I don't have as many creatures as other decks, but I am rocking Entreat the Angels, and I'm actually setting it up so that I have enough other effects that will turn on the ability for Aura to actually be a creature through devotion. That said, I do have Entreat the Angels because it will show up and take care of problems. And I've got Elish Norn here because if the game goes long and something happens to my filibuster buddies, this is a plan B. Because Elish Norn will pretty much ensure that my guys will never be the smallest ones as she smashes them in the face with her giant, giant head. Avacyn Guardian Angel, which is the one from M15, is here because she's really good at preventing damage of all types. And also, she's pretty big, so 5-4 in the air if your opponent is losing all their small blockers, pretty likely to get through. And all finally, right, rounding it out, I learned from last round with the mana base. So this time around, I got a little more crazy with it. I have both the Scrylands and Nubinalia, because why not? The Scryland in this case being the important, oh, it looks like I did leave Hollowed Fountain in. That was a mistake.
You did.
Yeah, that might come back and bite me. Uh-huh. Or I'll just let it come in tapped and feel dumb. But yeah, that was a mistake. Temple of Enlightenment, however, is here, and that's the one that was supposed to be here. So I'm glad it's still here. The scrying is really helpful in this case. But the main power trick here is with Celestial Colonnade, I can have a guy who's not a guy during my upkeep when the Porphyry Nodes goes off, who was probably bigger than most of what they have left, and is just punching straight through in the sky for 4. So, that's my deck.
All right, Bill, I really appreciate a couple of things. I appreciate the fact that you, in fact, did learn from the comments from the first section and that your mana base is actually fairly varied and you're able to achieve two colors fairly easily. I like definitely what you've done here with your elocutors. If I have any comments, it would be that Ephara seems more to be a second thought than anything else. I realize it's hard to satisfy all of these requirements, but still, there are only 11 creatures and 3 Entreat the Angels, so you're not going to be triggering her very often. That being said, a very solid effort and an excellent entry. Mike, are you prepared to give us your deck?
I guess I have to.
You do. So, it's a courtesy.
Yeah, all right. So,
Oh, I also appreciate the fact that Bill was able to follow the rules for the letters. So, okay, continue.
All right. So I ended up being very pressed for time in mine because I had to stop and restart, what I was doing a number of times. I decided to take a look at, Repulse mostly and a little bit of Ephara. And go with Sunken Hope, just start bouncing creatures everywhere. It kind of started to get away from me. I have either Adept and Void Wielders in here to keep bouncing my opponent's creatures because of the restrictions I couldn't use Mana War. The deck as it is just kind of wants to stall out the game, so I ended up with one Elixir of Immortality, and I also added Tainted Aether and Warped Devotion to start messing with my opponents when their stuff is getting bounced and when they're trying to replay it again. At the exact last minute, I threw in 4 Prosperities because all of the things that I was trying to put in there that would give me an easy way to make some token creatures kept starting with M. And that was for me.
I thought that perhaps the Prosperities were, in fact, Mind Springs at one point, so.
No, they were Spirit Mirror, but that didn't work. And then they were Mobilization, and that didn't work. And then during the last 5 seconds, it became Prosperity. Oh, and I have 58 cards. Wonderful.
All right. Ooh. Well, you did conform to the rules, except for the size of your deck. But you gave us a very interesting deck here. I do like the Tainted Aether and the Warped Devotion playing around the bounce theme. I think that's very interesting. We'll have to take into consideration the fact that you did not build a 60-card deck. But overall, once again, thank you for the effort. And I do appreciate that the product you turned in did meet the requirements. And if you want to blame anyone for the rules, blame Chewy.
Believe me, I do.
Okay.
There's no question about that.
All right. Dirk, I understand you have a deck ready. You tried to send us a link. The link is not working for me.
Yeah, the link didn't work at all. Did you mark it as private?
Yeah, I did. That would be the reason why.
Okay.
Let me...
Super secret tech.
So secret that none may see it.
Where do you go in and make it not private?
It's one of the checkmark boxes, on the left side near the upper area on the edit screen.
Oh, no, that's not it.
Edit should be all the way over on the left if you're looking at the deck list.
Edit's on the left. There's edit.
There we go.
That's what I want. Let's make it. Just set it to what?
I marked it as is archived, so it wouldn't show up everywhere, but you guys could still see it.
I don't know if archived actually does anything. That might be
I don't know either.
leftover, thing that does
from
nothing.
A precursor race.
Let me save it as this. It's prototype. Description, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Let's see if that does it. All right. Let's see if that does it.
And all right. That works.
It's coming up for me?
Yep.
Yes.
And now okay. It's coming up.
Tell us about your deck here.
Okay. So with mine, because there's this, the Porphyrimos node, that it destroys the smallest creature, my thought was, well, I obviously want to make my creatures bigger. So there are glorious anthems in there to make the creatures bigger. In addition to that, I wanted to go with some cheap creatures, so there are soldiers in there. In order to get the soldiers out quickly, I put in the Ballyrush Bannerets to make the soldier spells cheaper, and also for the potential of Kithkin in there. Daru Cavaliers, because I can get a whole bunch of them really quick, potentially. Euphoria, will help me burn through the deck a bit as the creatures are coming in. Sends enlistment, gets me Kithkins, and repel intruders, gets me more creatures. My thought was is that I put evacuation in there in case before I get established, something just ungodly comes into play and I just need to get to clear the board. And also if the repulse targets a creature, whereas the evacuation does not. So that was the thought behind that, as well as that if something comes in like a Simic Sky Swall or something like that, that I just cannot get rid of and will wreck my deck, that I can just clear the board, get rid of all that stuff. The repulse, again, a card, but it helps me draw cards and helps get rid of the stuff. Vincer, his big thing that plays into this is going to be his second ability and his third ability. The second ability causes things to become unblockable. With the Glorious Anthem out and with the soldiers out, I can make my creatures, I can make one of my big creatures unblockable and start smashing into the opponent. And with the final ability,
makes all of your creatures unblockable. So
all creature. Well, in that case, you know, I can rush my opponent with that. And also with the final ability, with the emblem, I can play the Sin's Enlistment or the Repel Intruders. And as the creatures are coming in, I can start bouncing my opponent's permanents.
Okay. A very interesting, take here. I appreciate the fact that you did pay some attention to Afara. While your creature count is technically a little lower than Bill's, you've got the Sin's Enlistment and the Repel Intruders here. I like how you thought about what to do against opponents when you've got the evacuation, so your deck is not simply self-contained. And I appreciate how you thought about the nodes as well. And you used your Venser. You gave a great deal of thought to your Venser as well. Your land is fairly straightforward. It is interesting how you do have the Repel Intruders, which does have the one counter spell in there, which is conditional. If the deck would seem to be a bit weak against anything that's not a creature threat against you, simply because if they have an active enchantment, none of your spells really seem to interact with that. But otherwise, a very solid entry. Thank you very much. Gentlemen, thank you for your entries. Once again, Bill, I like yours, and I appreciate how you have responded to comments from the first round. But if you have any weakness, it's that the Afara fell somewhat to the wayside. Mike, while I certainly appreciate the fact that you followed the beat of your own drummer in this round, and you were the only one to add another color, the question is, do you feel good enough about your own selection, and do you have any way of really winning before the game is over and you're not winning? And finally, Dirk, I appreciate what you've done here, and I like, well, the comments I just said. I like how you've got this token theme and how you've got the soldiers and how you've still managed to play into each of these selected cards. But your land is a bit straightforward, and you don't really have a way of dealing with any sort of non-creature threat. Something as simple as a Knight of Souls betrayal could, in fact, wreck you forever. So, gentlemen, with that in mind, one of you is about to be exiled. Now, we're going to take a quick break and come back.
Intense, guys. I mean, while I was talking to him, I just sort of choked because I forgot how Hollowed Fountain works. I mean, Hollowed Fountain, and not going to mess up my filibuster counters. Why'd he even say that? I hope he knows better.
Well, I completely forgot about the letters. I went in and looked at one of my cards and said, oh no, it starts with an L. I have to go back and find another card, and my brain was already racked and everything. Oh my gosh.
I was also, that was so stressful. That was so, so very stressful. My mana base is a mess. During the last 5 seconds, I threw in Prosperity. During the last 2 seconds, I finished the mana base, and I can't believe I didn't even make it 60 cards. That's just shameful.
Yeah. Well,
I'm bad about that one.
I've got like a ton of lands in mine, and I just need a little more time in order to level things out.
27 is quite a lot.
Yeah.
Ah, jeez.
Yeah, I mean, I was throwing in Forbidding Watchtower, honestly, because I was afraid that if things came down to it, my periphery node would just sort of eat my elocutors, and I'm like, no, my land will be eaten instead.
That's actually a pretty good call.
I mean, it's tough though, because I look at it and I'm like, where are all my creatures at? I mean, that's why I'm going to get burned on the Sephara thing, because my creatures come from other places.
Yeah. But
we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I've got burned because I mean, we're in blue. I should have had some counter spells, something in there to counter any sort of threats or major threats that come up.
Yeah, I messed that up.
Damn, I should have had like a safety sphere or something.
So Chewy, now that you're up here in the judges section with me, let's talk about each of these competitors. First, let's talk about Bill's entry. What did he call it? I think he called it How a Bill Becomes a Law. What do you think?
I think that the curve on it starts at like 5. I mean, sure, he's got lots of save yourself enchantments, the guard duty and the pacifism and the periphery nodes and the angel song, but he's gonna use those up quickly and he's still gotta get to 5. Well, I guess he could play Afara at 4, but buh.
It does feel like a bit of a feel bad to put guard duty on their creature and have no choice but to use the nodes to kill it in the next turn, because it does feel like you've kind of wasted the guard duty, or it's only bought you one turn.
But then once he gets to 5 mana, he only needs 5 turns.
True. Okay. So let's turn anything else. Shall we turn to Mike's deck?
Mike's deck is really good, but it's not a finished deck.
Yes.
It's only got 58 cards in it, and that's not going to win any games because that's illegal.
Yeah. For the purposes of Exile, we will certainly take that into consideration. It does not require an automatic disqualification.
Right.
But it does count.
Other than that, I really like it. It's very clever. It's very Mike. It's got a constant stream of nope, nope, nope with the Tainted Aether and the Warp Devotion and the Perfect Nodes. And he's right. He can just sit there and stall until he has to win with the Elixir of Immortality. Which also seems kind of Mike. So
true. He does have prosperity to help things along. Finally, what do you think of Dark's deck?
Well, Dark's deck is the most straightforward of them all, but like I like that he's got the periphery I got to figure out how to say that. He's got the nodes, and he said to counteract that he'll use Glorious Anthem, but he's still just got a whole lot of little dudes. But then, he's got a whole lot of little dudes, so having to sack one to the nodes is not that big a deal.
Yes.
So, It's,
all right.
It's pretty good.
Go ahead.
I mean, it's pretty good.
Okay. I have now provided you with a voting slip. Please write down on the voting slip who you would vote to exile and pass it back to me and me alone.
Okay.
Okay. All right, let's go ahead and call them back in.
All right. Oi!
Gentlemen!
Jess is in!
Yes.
Well, we appreciate all of your entries. However, and this was a very difficult round as well, and I appreciate that all of you rose to the challenge. Everyone had some difficulties, but ultimately, Chewy and I have discussed things, and I actually do agree with his choice. And the person we are going to eliminate and send to exile this round is Dirk.
I had a feeling.
Dirk, we greatly appreciate what you did here. It's actually very interesting. Unfortunately, there were a couple difficulties that were, well, difficult to overcome. Please join us over here on the judges station.
All right.
All right. Now, we have one final round remaining. It will be Mike versus Dirk. Gentlemen, you have 2 seconds.
Hang on.
Mike versus Bill.
Yeah. I'm only half a jerk, man.
Versus Bill.
Mike versus some other guy.
Gentlemen, you may now take the next 15 seconds to smack talk each other.
I can't handle the pressure of another round. I definitely can't smack right now.
Well, just you wait. When I'm done shuffling you, I'm going to cut you.
Oh, my God. Well... This round will be the most difficult, both in the pack that is opened and possibly in the restriction as well. But both of you have done well enough that we believe that you will succeed. And if not, then the true victor will be determined as we have been determining them thus far by selection. Are you ready?
Freedom of the judges.
Are
just
you
don't
ready?
Don't light us on fire. That's a rough condition.
Well, I make no promises. Are you ready to open your last booster?
Yes.
Okay. Mike, are you ready?
Yes. Yeah, that's okay. What I said several times.
I didn't hear you.
Definitely didn't hear it not once. That's weird.
Not once. All right.
Ice cream sandwich.
Okay. In this booster, oh my goodness, we have Camouflage, Sorrow's Path, and Siren's Call. Again, that's Camouflage, Sorrow's Path, and Siren's Call. Gentlemen, take a couple seconds.
Yeah, I think we should give them a second to look those up if they don't know, because I don't know. Camouflage. For a single green is an instant. Cast Camouflage only during your Declare Attacker step. This turn, instead of declaring blockers, each defending player chooses any number of creatures he or she controls and divides them into a number of piles equal to the number of attacking creatures for whom that player is the defending player. Creatures he or she controls that can block additional creatures may likewise be put into additional piles. Assign each pile to a different one of those attacking creatures at random. Each creature in a pile that can block the creature that pile is assigned to does so. Piles can be empty. Why would you pick this?
Well,
worst pack ever, guys.
Mm-hmm.
This what this card essentially says, when you really, really break it down, is for this turn, the defending player, let's say it's just one defending player, can say, all right, I want to block with these three creatures, but they don't get to decide what they block. They get to decide, you know, I'm going to either gang block some with all of these, or they're all going to block something else or something like that. But then the actual creatures that they are blocking is determined at random.
Oh.
That's what that means when you get past all the words. I had to read it several times.
Yeah, the original printed wording had the attacker, like, turn his creatures hidden so that the defender didn't know what he was blocking.
Oh.
You can't actually do that in the real rules.
Yeah. All right. For the second card, that second card is Sorrow's Path, and it's one of Mike's favorites, I know. It is a land. Tap. Choose two target blocking creatures an opponent controls. If each of those creatures could block all creatures that the other is blocking, remove both of them from combat. Each one then blocks all creatures the other was blocking. And whenever Sorrow's Path becomes tapped, it deals two damage to you and each creature you control. Finally, Siren's Call. For one blue, cast Siren's Call only during an opponent's turn before attackers are declared. Creatures the active player controls attack this turn if able. At the beginning of the next end step, destroy all non-wall creatures that player controls that didn't attack this turn. Ignore this effect for each creature the player didn't control continuously since the beginning of the turn. So those are your three cards. Camouflage, Sorrow's Path, and Siren's Call. There's going to be one additional rule for this round as well, but before we get to that, Mike, please choose your card.
I can't think of the name of it. It's an enchant that says prevent all damage. Ah.
Prevent?
It has to do with damage that would be dealt by, to your stuff by sources you control. What the heck is that?
Oh, it's a white enchantment, right?
Yeah.
And it's from original Ravnica.
Is it?
Let's see what that search does for me. Light of Sanction.
Yeah, that's the one.
All right. So Mike chooses.
So Light of Sanction is my card.
Light of Sanction. Bill, what is your card?
Sherazad.
Oh.
That's right. We're doing it.
Okay. So both of you are adding white. One of you. Okay. All right. And the additional rule for this round is no basic lands. All right, gentlemen.
What the hell?
You have 10 minutes to make your decks. You may begin. So, Dirk, how do you feel about being exiled after the last round?
I'm so glad I got exiled.
Do you don't think you'd want to build a deck with Camouflage, Sorrow's Path, and Siren's Call?
I do not think I would. I don't think I have the knowledge at my level to compete at that level. I'm very glad that Mike and Bill are the ones doing that because, wow.
I don't think anyone in their right mind does.
This round may, in fact, require someone to not be in their right mind. Who do you think has a better chance of winning, Mike or Bill? Feel free to throw someone under the bus if you wish.
I can't call it, man. Mike seems visibly shaken after last round, but then Mike is never one to back down from a challenge either. Whereas Bill's selection of Shahrazad really feels like he is taking your challenge of crappy troll cards and hitting it head on. What were you thinking? This is just mean.
Well, while we here at the station and our contributors at the Mana Pool and CardShark.com and BuzzCo take everything we do very, very seriously, we may have had a little help from the random card selection button, but you'd be surprised what all that can give you. Sometimes it's great and sometimes it's terrible, just like BuzzCo. Except BuzzCo is always great and never terrible. All hail the BuzzCo.
Yeah.
Mike, how are you doing?
I'm going all in. I don't even care. I'm doing this.
All right. Glad to hear. Just make sure to put out that fire when you're done. Bill, thank you for getting down from the ceiling. How are you doing?
Well, I got on the ceiling because there was a fire, so I'm avoiding fire and trying to make a deck. Thanks, Mike.
Not my problem.
Little intra-competitor sniping. Oh, they hate each other.
A little bit. A little bit, perhaps.
How do you spell Shahrazad? I've been putting this thing in there. I was like, no.
Shahrazad.
It starts with an S-H-A-R. I don't know what the next letter is. A-R-R? No. I. I don't know.
Oh, God.
I can probably find it using an advanced search because I know what the first phrase is. Start.
So, Mike's card.
So, let me ask the gentleman. Yes, please, go ahead.
Okay, so Mike's card, Light of Sanction, is a rare from Ravnica City of Guilds. It costs 1 white. It's an enchantment, and it says, prevent all damage that would be dealt to creatures you control by sources you control. So it looks like he is looking to protect his creatures from his incredibly crappy Sorrow's Path.
That is definitely the case. Sorrow's Path is a very difficult card to build around because of the dealing damage to yourself and to all creatures you control.
Just the worst.
And then would you like to tell us what Bill's card does?
Maybe. So, Shahrazad is a sorcery from Arabian Nights. It costs 1 white. And it says, players play a magic subgame using their libraries as their decks. Each player who doesn't win the subgame loses half his or her life rounded up. So all of your permanents, when you cast Shahrazad, stay where they are, right?
Correct.
And they get moved over there somewhere, and you play a new game using your existing library. And
just minus the cards that you already have in play, and I believe in your hand.
Right.
Yes.
All cards that are not in your library are not part of the subgame.
I believe this card was in fact spoofed in an unset. Hold on one second. 5 minutes remaining. Okay. This was spoofed in an unset, I believe. Was it Enter the Dungeon or something to that effect?
Something like that, yeah.
Yes. Where it has you play a game under the table, and it was directly, I guess, spoofing, possibly mocking this card. This card is hated by everyone except, I guess, Bill. So we'll have to be... I'm very curious to see what his deck will look like when he is done. Let me now turn to the two exiled competitors. Mike, not Mike. Dirk, if you were playing in this round, what card would you choose to be your single card that no one else could use? Remember, they're in green and blue, so...
Yeah. I know one thing. I probably would not have chosen white that the two of them are playing myself. Okay. What exactly I would be playing, I honestly have no idea. I honestly don't.
Okay, that's a fair response.
If there was some way that you could...
Chewie, do you know what you would have chosen?
Put out maybe lots of little creatures for the camouflage, or
Or something that starts, that might be something.
I don't even know. Like, had I known about the no basic lands ahead of time, I could have done something evil, but I didn't, and I wouldn't have. So I got nothing.
What would that have been? I'm curious. What would that have evil thing been?
Actually, no. I know what I would have chosen. I just can't remember what it's called. There's some spell that lets you swap control of a land.
What's that?
That you control. I have no idea. It's like political trickery or something. You can exchange control of a land you control and a land you don't control. So here.
I think you're right.
Have a Sorrow's Path. Get it the hell out of my face. Because
there you go.
Siren's Call is actually kind of useful. I think I've seen it used in decks before. Camouflage is just dumb. But I think getting rid of your Sorrow's Path, it's essentially land destruction because they're not going to use it.
That's definitely true. It does have, Sorrow's Path does have the additional restriction of when it becomes tapped, very reminiscent of City of Brass. Where City of Brass, you can tap for mana of any color, but when it becomes tapped, regardless of whether you tapped it for mana or not, it deals a damage to you. So it has that same sort of restriction, and it also allows plays by the opponent, like Icy Manipulator activations. So obviously something like political trickery here is quite hilarious, of getting rid of something you just don't want. There, 8 minutes and 20 seconds have elapsed. Mike, are you still doing okay?
Maybe.
Okay. Bill, are you still doing okay?
Oh god, he's dead.
I'm not entirely sure. I'm not entirely sure if I'm okay, but someone's gonna hate me by the end of this, and that's the goal.
Alright.
Might be clues.
We are narrowing in on the end. Let's quickly thank our sponsors again. That would be the Mana Pool, the best podcast here, other than, Monday Night Magic. Cardshark.com, a better way to buy and sell collectible card games that are magic. And Buzzco. Dirk, what is your favorite Buzzco product that you've bought today?
I would have to say the beeeswax.
Oh man, Chewy, what is your favorite Buzzco product?
Because you can never have enough beeswax.
Don't you love Buzzco beeswax?
Ah, yes.
What about, and you know my favorite thing about the Buzzco beeswax is to point out how this is all my beeswax and it's none of your beeswax. And my favorite Buzzco product was Buzzco wheat.
That's very good.
I love me some Buzzco wheat. It's much better than Coke or Pepsi.
20 seconds. 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5,
those are
4,
not seconds.
3, 2, 1, done. That's it, gentlemen.
Ooh, Mike is visibly
freaking, all right, then.
Visibly on edge.
Judge.
All right, Bill, would you please tell us about your deck?
Sure. I called my deck Level 2 Judge Test on the grounds that you picked these cards, and any Level 2 judge is going to have to put up with this deck. So, to start with,
oh my God.
The utter lack of basic lands made it difficult, so I started out with a whole bunch of vivid lands, and of course Sorrow's Path had to be here. And then I've got a filter land, some other lands, whatever, City of Brass, because I'm gonna need it. Just you wait. So for my instance, I have Camouflage, which does that annoying thing in combat. And I have Master Warcraft, which does that annoying thing in combat. And Siren's Call, which does that annoying thing in combat. And then there's a Twin Cast, which we'll come back to later. So under my enchantments, I have Counterbalance, which we'll come back to later. And I have Humility, which just is annoying all around. And, you know, all level 2 judges should know about it. Over here under creatures, we have 4 Delvers of Secrets, because, I mean, why not, right? I mean, I've got 14 instants. It's bound to flip on something. And then I've got 3 Odricks, because he does that annoying thing in combat. If he can actually find friends, which will be difficult, because there aren't that many. But I believe in him. And then there's Platinum Angel, because it does that annoying thing forever. And then under our sorceries, we have 1 copy of Balance, which just does that annoying thing, period. And has a fun interaction with nothing. And then we have Shahrazad, who lets you play multiple games, because look at that, we got 2 Twin Casts. That's going to be awesome. So we got that over there. And then down here under my artifacts, I have 1 Elixir of Immortality, because they're honestly never going to want to attack you with all these other effects going on, so you might as well wait them out. And finally, Sensei's Divining Top, because Counterbalance and Sensei's Divining Top is really annoying, and you can tap a Sensei's Divining Top in the middle of combat.
All I have to say is, wow. Wow.
I originally had a Chains of Mephistopheles in here, but I decided that was greedy.
You do have less creatures in here than last time, but you have a lot of other things going on. You don't really take advantage of the camouflage at all, because that's when your creatures attack, and you're not going to be attacking a whole lot. It seems like your game plan is more to wait them out or bore them to death, but it could occasionally come up. And I do appreciate that you... I do appreciate that you've got the appropriate Vivid Lands in here. A very interesting submission. Thank you, Bill. All right, Mike, let's take a look at your deck.
All right. So, there is actually a meaningful interaction between Camouflage and Sorrow's Path. And it means that if I don't like how one of the blocks for Camouflage turned out, I can have Sorrow's Path switch something up. Now, the fact that I actually want to use Sorrow's Path at all means, that's why I picked Light of Sanction as my card, to prevent the damage that it would deal to my creatures. So I decided to also go along with Light of Sanction. I decided to add in Cinder Giant and Starstorm to actually make mana. I put in Chromatic Lantern to help me out with my colors, because of course the land base had to be just a blasphemous mess because of the no basic land restriction, and because I decided to put all five colors in here. There's four Demonic Tutors because I've kind of given up on trying to be clever or subtle at this point, and I said I was just going for it. So I can just go get whatever I need to find. You know, in the land base you'll see City of Brass, Grand Colosseum, Lotus Vale, Mana Confluence, Rupture Spire, the Sorrow's Paths, of course, two Urborg, Tomb of Yawgmoth, and I decided to throw in one Halls of Mist because it is also another horrible, horrible land. My creatures that will be attacking alongside Cinder Giant, who will have his damage prevented by Light of Sanction, they all have haste. They're Avalanche Riders, Rakdos Rage Mutt to try to recover some life. You know, Avalanche Riders also just pisses my opponent off. And then Yavimai Ants, because it's funny.
It is, in fact, funny. It is a 5/1 trample with haste in green.
And cumulative upkeep.
Yes.
Bonus.
All right. Mike, I find this very interesting. Your mana base is less stable, perhaps, than Bill's is, but you've got a lot of interesting things going on here, and you've used both the camouflage and Sorrow's Path well, or better than I think anyone in history has ever used those cards together, if they've ever used them together ever. So I greatly appreciate the effort as well. Gentlemen, you may excuse yourselves to the place where you sweat it out while the judges talk about your decks and figure out who, if we have a winner. I mean, who wins? Thank you.
Off to the locker room for us.
Man. If we have a winner.
Yeah, those are probably
suck.
Actually
get out.
Yeah, they probably hate us right now. I mean, you actually made a deck though. Good for you. I just wanted to troll the judges. So we'll see how well they appreciate that. But they were trolling us first, so I consider it fair game.
I almost died just looking at your deck, Bill. That was amazing.
I mean, I wanted to create something where I don't have to learn what these cards do, so no one will ever attack, and that seems to work.
And I did kind of like the spiteful dig at the judges for the last round with all the difficult things that they've thrown at us so far, because that round was really, really weird. Extremely weird.
Ugh, that was tough. I didn't know what those cards did, and then I read what they did, and I'm like, wow, I just don't want to deal with combat. So I started with a zero creature deck, and then I decided it was way better to just run troll creatures.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I definitely get what you're saying.
Unfortunately, I'm pretty sure that the Sorrow's Path will do a very good job of killing the Delver if it ever attacks, which actually feels pretty good, so I don't mind it.
I like the Odric in there. How often is he actually going to happen? But I think that's part of the joke.
I mean, he tries, you know. He's got goals.
I'm sorry, Judge. I was looking over Bill's deck again, and I just can't stop laughing.
That's all right. Okay, gentlemen, now that Dirk has joined us over here in the judges section, let's go through these one at a time. Let's start with Bill's rather, I think, hilarious entry here, although whether or not you're funny, you think it's funny, may depend on whether or not you're piloting it or playing against it. So this is level 2 judge test, and let's go ahead and go through this. I think there's some interesting things going on here.
I think Bill hates you. I don't blame him. If I had been in this challenge, I'd hate you too. But
these were very difficult cards to fit together or in any deck whatsoever. He took the interesting tactic of just waiting out the opponent and just eventually winning, which feels a bit like Mike's deck in the last round. But here he's got enough cards that start different games. I find it interesting that Charizard only costs 2 mana. I suppose I didn't really actually know that ahead of time. And then the thought of twin casting as Charizard both makes me happy and sad, and then very sad at the same time. I don't know what else to say about this. You've got some interesting things here. I mean, obviously the Senseless Divining Top plus counterbalance is good enough for legacy play and competitive Magic, so there's no question about whether or not that's good here. Mike, Dirk, what do you think about this deck?
I looked at Bill's deck and just, yeah, this is a deck that if I were to play against, I think at some point I would just throw my hands up and just go, screw this.
Yeah,
I think this is away from the table.
Yeah, this is a table flip deck.
This really is a table flip deck.
Yes.
That's his win condition, is the shortness of patience.
You just look at it and go, nope, I'm done. I will not play Magic for a couple months just because of this deck. And if I were a judge walking up to this deck, I would just walk away too. I would just say, nope, I'm not coming back for a while.
So if you were a judge and you were called to the table and the opponent had a question about an interaction, you would just leave?
I would walk away.
I would call
in that 9 and say, nope, I'm done.
I don't believe you would go to another table. I think you would just walk out the door and never come back.
No, I would throw in the towel and just walk in and say, well, nope, you guys have fun with that.
I do appreciate, on a slightly more serious note, how he is devoted to his theme, and should you be brave enough to enter combat with any number of creatures against this deck, the Master Warcraft figures in. Siren's Call says that you have to attack or your creatures get destroyed. Again, the only issue I have is that Camouflage was one of the named cards at the beginning, and he has 4 copies in here. He didn't even just put in 1, he put in 4, but how often is he ever going to attack? So I do have a bit of an issue with that. Any other comments about this deck before we move to Mike's deck?
I think I can tell that Bill is on a podcast with Clues, because Clues just hates Counterbalance and Divining Top. I'm pretty sure all judges hate Humility. Mm. I know Clues hates Delver of Secrets.
Perhaps after this show airs, Bill might find a way to pass this list along to Clues and ask him what he thinks about entering it into the next vintage championship.
Oh, that's great. Maybe I'll just send this list to Clues just anyway.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to Mike's deck. The first thing I notice is, of course, that the mana base makes most other mana bases look very easy. But he does have a lot of ways to get all 5 colors here between the City of Brass, the Lotus Veil, the Grand Coliseum, the Rupture Spire, Mana Confluence. So he does have lots of ways. Some of those are very taxing on your life, but he does have a lot of ways to make lots of different mana, which is very important with this deck.
He's also got the Urborgs in here to essentially shut off the damage from City of Brass and Grand Coliseum.
Right.
And Mana Confluence, because if he's tapping it for black mana, then he doesn't have to take the damage or life loss.
What about with City of Brass?
City of Brass, yes, my bad.
But the others, not at all. And of course, you know, with Lotus Veil, he can always take the painful lands and just turn them into something much more productive. He could also turn his Sorrow's Path into something much less terrible.
See, now that sounds great.
But what I really like here, I think there are quite a few things that I like, are that he actually really embraced the challenge. And not in a, you know, just screw everybody way, which is one way of embracing it, but he took the Camouflage and the Sorrow's Path and he said there must be a way to actually make these work. And I think he came about as close as any person that's ever done in the history of Magic. The creatures, I feel, are a little all over the place. I do like that they all have haste.
Well, the Cinder Giant doesn't, but the Cinder Giant has the that 2 damage to each other creature you control. But it's a 5-3 for 4.
5-3 for 4.
I'm pretty sure he could have done better, but I think he really wanted to, like you said.
Awful card.
What are you doing in here? Get out!
Hey, get out.
Breaking the fourth wall, sorry.
Ah. Mike really embraced not only the challenge, but his additional card as well with the Light of Sanction, which it's unfortunate Light of Sanction doesn't prevent all damage to you as well, or this thing would be a slam dunk in a lot of things, but at least saving your creatures from the Sorrow's Path, for example, because that 2 damage every time it's tapped adds up quite a bit. Dirk, what do you think?
I think that Mike's deck is the one that has more of an actual goal to win in mind, but his mana base is, the fact he's in 5 colors makes it very difficult. Now I do like that he got around that by putting in the black cards, the search cards,
the demonic tutors.
Yeah. I do like that he put those in so that he has the ability to do that, and I've seen Mike use that to great extent. I think his definitely has a goal of winning in mind as opposed to Bill's.
Oh, he's got Chromatic Lantern in here too. I completely forget. For some reason, Chromatic Lantern turns your lands into actual, painless City of Brass.
Right. And it basically adds that additional line, which again is great for all of them except for City of Brass, because City of Brass doesn't care what taps it, so.
And Sorrow's Path, which is just awful.
Yes. But,
and in a pinch,
all right,
he can blow up his Sorrow's Path with his Avalanche Riders if it comes down to it.
It's true. And like you said, if he has to, if he just needs to keep the opponent behind, he can just blow up an opponent's land instead, of course. So that works both ways. All right, gentlemen, please, on your voting ballot, write down and pass over to me the person that you think this time would win. Not the one that you want to see exiled, but the one that you want to win.
Okay, hang on.
And pass it over to me.
There we go. Separate chat, baby!
All right. Very interesting decision, gentlemen. I believe we have a winner. Let's go ahead and call the contestants, or combatants, as you will, back
Boy,
in.
Boy, let me ask you something.
Gentlemen, I want to congratulate both of you. You have both successfully made it through 3 rounds on Exiled, something these other 2 gentlemen could not even begin to do.
We suck.
You have faced every challenge put before you, and you have done so with grace, poise, and most of your sanity left intact. This was an extremely difficult final round. Bill, you gave us a rather unique answer that both gave us the middle finger and enticed us to play along with you and to follow just how far down the rabbit hole this deck goes, or begs the question, how far down the rabbit hole should we throw this deck? Mike, your answer was, your deck was also very unique in a very different way. And we really appreciate how you paid attention to the cards that were required and the card that you selected yourself. Although your land makes me want to throw up and leave and throw up again. So, the judges had a bit of a split decision, and there was a bit of different reasoning going into it. But we have a winner, and the person that is exiled is...
This episode of Exile is brought to you, as always, by Cardshark.com, a better way to buy and sell magic. It is also brought to you by The Mana Pool, everyone's favorite long-running casual magic podcast. Special sponsor this week is the Tilt Expo, September 5th through the 7th in Durham, North Carolina, featuring a big Magic 2015 sealed tournament on Saturday, speed dating with Mating Habits of the Modern Geek, and featuring all kinds of gaming all weekend. Movie Bob from The Escapist will be there, a cosplay contest, Humans vs. Zombies running all weekend, and panels of all flavors of geekdom, including 2 with your Mana Pool co-host Chewy. Remember, that's Tilt Expo in Durham, North Carolina, September 5th through the 7th. Go to tiltexpo.com for all the information.
So the person that is exiled is Bill. Mike, that means you win Exiled.
Wow.
Bill, we really appreciated your contribution, and I'll have you know that you got at least 1 judge's vote, based on flavor. But
that's
overall, and we appreciate your creativity. Ultimately, we had to give it to Mike. who gave us this very unique entry that
for building a functional deck.
I built a dysfunctional deck.
That embraced the challenge of the card as well. So thank you, gentlemen, both for participating today. Mike, you win this mountain I have over here. So thank you very much for playing.
At least that was a forest.
Yeah, well, I really like that forest. Okay, so what can I say? So thank you both very much for listening. Thank you all listeners out there in internet world for listening in to Exiled. We hope you had a great time. We hope you learned something, because that would at least make one of us. Thank you very much for listening. And go listen to the Mana Pool.
Should we do some manner of final thought real quick?
Sure.
Just like the closing interview as the credits roll?
The show sure. Sucks.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it that way. Are we still going?
Yeah.
All right. So now, very quickly, let's talk to our champion, Mike. Do you have any last contribution to give us today? Anything on your mind?
Yes, I will say that this event is extremely challenging. The time limit is something that I have never dealt with before. You know, I usually build decks over the course of hours, days, or even weeks, and 10 minutes is really difficult, but I'm proud of myself for being able to power through it. And I am very proud to have won this episode of Exiled.
Wonderful. Bill, as our follow-up, second place, not quite winner, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm really kind of glad that we had that land restriction in the last round, because otherwise I would have actually had to make a Battle of Wits deck, and I don't know if I can do that in 10 minutes. But unfortunately, we had to work with it. Restriction breeds creativity. Some guy keeps saying that. I don't know who. But more importantly, I got a chance to put all of the cards that everyone hates in here, and I was justifiably exiled for it.
And someone somewhere is going to build your deck and then get exiled from their own playgroup.
In real life.
In real life. I think it will happen. Dirk, as our next runner-up, do you have any final contributions?
My final contribution is that I did think that the competition showed some great difficulty moving up. We started off with some very good restrictions, you know, okay, this second one was far more difficult, and I think the contestants did a great job on the final round, because that was incredibly difficult.
Very good. I think they responded very well to the challenge as well, as did all the contestants over the course of the day. And finally, Chewy, our first loser, and
best loser,
first and best loser, and head dork. Would you like to give us any of your what's on your mind?
I am not cut out for this sort of competition. And I learned that quickly when the easy challenge is the one that made me, well, fail miserably. So I'm pretty sure that I think maybe, Judge, we should put you in this hot seat next time, and I'll handle the MC duties.
We'll have to see about that. I may have to be out of vacation, town, world, forever for that. But you can talk to my person, and I'll have him call you back, I promise. So. Thank you all very much for listening. I will just close things out by saying that this actually went perhaps a little better than I was expecting, and I appreciate all the contestants and their good-willing naturedness for putting up with this show, and thank our sponsors once again. And thank you, the listeners, more than anybody else, because without you, we wouldn't have this show. Be sure to comment in the forums and in the comments section below to let us know if you enjoyed this or if you thought it was a steaming pile of a waste of your time. And remember to stay tuned for next week, when we get to a very important news piece which is affecting the world around us today and tomorrow and forever more. Thank you and good evening.
Yeah,
we'll give you 60 seconds to look these cards over, and I'm not going to keep track.
Okay, now that we're all done talking, hey, why don't we mix it up this time?
Camouflage.
There we go.
Camouflage.